growing up in a home where there's a lot of emphasis on the things that you do, the checklists, the accomplishments, the things that you are doing to serve or helping other people, can wear us out. And they can be good things. But when we get on the performance track, where it's a matter of my performance, how busy I am and what I do, I've got to guard against that not becoming my identity. I've got to be careful to make sure it's not just another thing on a checklist that I'm doing. That makes sense?
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today begins the first part of Dr. Randy's three-part teaching series entitled Being Before Doing in Marriage. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. You're going to find here real soon that this snazzy title I came up with, Being Before Doing, really is a really simple concept. You ever try to do something? I mean, try to be something you're not. That's really what we're talking about. And, you know, you can do that for a while. Maybe you got married and you found out the person you were dating was being some person they really are not, you know? And so if we want to have a marriage that works, we got to be before we do. And we'll get into that in just a moment. Before we do, hey, listen, two things. My wife, Don, and I are excited about this year. We're going to be leading a tour to Washington, D.C., and it's going to be great. We're going to have a whole week, October 10 through 16, in our nation's capital. We're going to go to the roots of the spiritual heritage of our nation. We get to go to the brand new, just opened Museum of the Bible, 400,000 square feet, all about God's Word. And I get to do teaching right there in their auditorium with those who are attending this tour. Plus, hey, listen, we're also going to go to the White House. That'll be cool. And to the Capitol building and the major monuments. And then we're going to have time to pray for our nation all about 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the election. And so this is going to be a very strategic time. We'd love to have you come and join us. Get the information at our website, October. And then April coming up first here, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I will be hosting a conference for marriage, on marriage and parenting. We call it Hope for Your Home. I'm going to add humor and help for your home as well. Albuquerque, we're coming your way April 7 in Hoffmantown. Glendale in the Phoenix area, April 21st. Get your tickets. Go to theintentionallife.com. TheIntentionalLife.com. All the information is there for you. All right, let's start this series, Being Before Doing.
Well, today what I'd like to do as we get back into teaching this month, to build on what God has been teaching me over the last couple of months. And if we rehearse what we talked about the defining moments. And we looked at Nehemiah and Jonah and the fact that these two guys in Scripture had a defining moment in their lives. And it was at that defining moment that they made decisions that would alter the course of their lives and, frankly, alter the course of other people's lives. And I recognize that we all have defining moments. And we talked about the fact that in our lifetime, we make about 1.9 million decisions in a lifetime based upon research from a Stanford graduate who followed people around and looked at decisions they made during the day. And most of us make about 70 decisions a day. Now, some of us probably make more. Some of us hide in a corner and make less. But we make about 70 decisions a day over a lifetime. That's about 1.9 million. But the reality is, most of us, by the time we get to the end of our lives, and we do what's called a lifeline assessment, when we look in counseling, often we'll look at a lifeline from your birth until your age today. And on that line, we'll say, give us the dates and times that a defining moment occurred in your life, when you took a left turn or a right turn or something significant. Could be in marriage or career. It may be something spiritual, like giving your life to Christ, making a decision to go into missions, whatever number of decisions. But there's about 20. Usually when I talk to people and we look at Lifeline, there's usually about 20. Some have less, some have more, but about 20 major kind of life decisions that will alter the course of our lives. If you recall, we talked about inverting that little triangle so that we know the point of life and make the big decisions first, and then the smaller decisions, the daily decisions, support it, which is really important. Before, we talked about being before doing, the power of being before doing. And I want to build on that today as I take us a little bit deeper on what does that mean from the book of Ephesians when we talk about the difference between doing and being from a marital perspective, focusing on the marriage relationship. But the principles that I'm going to talk about here are applicable to all relationships. But to bring us up to speed on where we were when we talked about this a couple months ago, you'll recall that we talked about that God intends for us to be before we do. Now, I grew up in a godly home. My parents loved the Lord, gave their lives to Christ. My dad was in his late 20s, gave his life to Christ. I grew up in a home where I saw my parents make a lot of decisions that altered the course of our family. And they were all in the direction of charity, toward giving, toward serving and helping other people. But I think if my dad were alive today and my mom, and they were up here with me, they would admit that the culture of our home was one of doing things. In other words, I think that we gave a lot of credit to what we did to the extent of what we were becoming, who we are as a person. And growing up in a home where there's a lot of emphasis on the things that you do, the checklists, the accomplishments, the things that you are doing to serve or helping other people can wear us out. And they can be good things. It's really obvious when a person's doing bad things. It's easy to see a person who's investing their time, their money, and their talents into doing things that are dragging down culture, hurting people, discouraging people, to say, hey, stop doing that. But when we get on the performance track, where it's a matter of my performance, how busy I am and what I do, and it's a good thing, we can get an adrenaline high from that. You know, we're talking about these conferences that we're getting good response as we go out and teach, but I've got to guard against that not becoming my identity. That I can stand on a platform, we have 1,000 people come to a conference and people give their lives to Christ and people stand and give a one thing commitment. That jazzes me. That turns my crank. I come off the platform at the end of a conference. If you're there with me, you know I'm really pumped. Because we have immediate response of these people making decisions, and that's a good thing, right? But I've got to be careful to make sure it's not just another thing on a checklist that I'm doing. Does that make sense? And in our lives, it's easy for us to get on the performance track where we focus on the doing part more than we do on the being part. And one of the works that God's been doing in my life over the last number of months and few years is moving toward that stage of really understanding what it means to become in Christ.
Thank you for listening to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy will be right back. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you live an intentional life in Christ. To see how you can receive a complete copy of the teaching CD, go to theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Does your faith match up with your actions? Are you walking the talk of your faith?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of the Intentional Living Center.
When our lives demonstrate God's heart and hope for the world, it's an indicator that we trust Him to help us live the life He has called us to. So everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. The Lord has given us 3 simple but powerful resources that we can draw on daily to help us live what we believe. First is prayer. In other words, spend time with Him in prayer every day. Second is His Word. Read the Bible to develop your relationship with Him. And third is the experiences of others and ourselves as we see God's faithfulness in action. These 3 things help us walk the talk and thrive in our faith. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. You know what makes a really great team? A team that can conquer anything? It's about being on the same wavelength, striving for a common goal together, and encouraging one another to move the ball down the field, so to speak. The Intentional Living Facebook page is where people sharing stories about their intentional lives huddle. Great encouragement from Dr. Randy will fire you up every time. It's the play of the day. It's time you got on the team. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving today.
I ran across a very unintentional quote by political commentator and comedian Will Rogers. If stupidity got us into this mess, then why can't it get us out? Unfortunately, if you did something stupid to get into a mess, you're going to need to be very intentional to clean it up. When you become a member of the Intentional Living Center, you'll receive resources that will help you to make wise choices by living an intentional life in Jesus Christ. So join today. You'll receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit as our thanks, which contains autographed copies of Dr. Randy's best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Starved for Affection, as well as the One Thing wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you hear on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire series. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
And one of the works that God's been doing in my life over the last number of months, few years, is moving toward that stage of really understanding what it means to become in Christ. You know, he tells us that we are to become part of him, that we are to submit to him before he ever tells us that we are how we're to live and what we're to do. In the marriage context, the scripture says in Ephesians 5:21, submit one to another. So that's something we can do. So that's an activity. Put it on the checklist. 5:22 says, wives, submit to your husbands. There's another activity. You got to put it on your checklist. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. 5:25. Leave father and mother. 5:31. Another thing to do. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. 6:4. These are all things on the checklist of life. These are the things that we can put on our marital checklist of things we have to do. And one of the things I've seen with people in marriage is they get weary of continuing to just do things in their marriage. And when we get married, we approach it with the idea that we're going to do all these things and we're going to have a different kind of a marriage than someone else. And then we get into it and we face reality. And the expectation minus reality always equals disappointment. We've talked about that. It always equals disappointment. And so we have an expectation when we get into marriage, because I do these things, my marriage is going to be okay and my spouse is going to love me and it's going to give me back a lot of positive affirmation. And then all of a sudden reality sets in because they have needs and they don't think their needs are being met. And one thing leads to another and we get discouraged. So we talked about the fact that before we do all these things, we need to become. And if you recall, we talked about the Apostle Paul telling us there were four things that we had to be before we do, preceding these verses on all of these things that we're to be doing in marriage. The first thing he told us was to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, 4:23. And what Paul's talking about here is our thinking. Our thinking is key. Our thinking is what gets us into trouble in almost every area of our lives. I can't tell you the number of people I've sat with in counseling who will look me straight in the eye and tell me an absolute lie that they're believing. Taking scripture and turning it because that fits their mold and what they think is right, when it's contrary to what Scripture teaches. How many of us lie to ourselves? We all lie to ourselves. Now, the obvious, you know, I'm stupid, I'm not capable, all the things that can happen when you grow up, maybe in a place where you don't feel good about yourself or have confidence in those things. But we can lie to ourselves about a lot of things. And when Paul tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, he's putting this in the context. Three verses earlier, he said, don't have futile thinking like the Gentiles, see? And when we have a futile thought, that doesn't mean we're stupid. A futile thought simply means it's a thought that doesn't lead to a logical, natural, right conclusion. And many times we have decisions that we make based on futility of thought, not stupidity of thought, but futility of thought. And Paul says in turn, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So he's saying, become a person that tells yourself the truth. There is such a thing as truth, and truth is not based on our feelings. Truth is not based on our own experience. Truth is not even based on what other people might be telling us. If we don't get back to Scripture as the basis of the ultimate truth, we're going to be chasing our tail with whatever seems to be right that comes along. And when the Bible tells us something, we need to see that as truth. God is not a liar, and He is not an author of confusion. God speaks the truth, and when the Bible speaks, our job is to listen. And the truth that we have begins here. You know, you think about living up to the potential. Human beings are the only creatures on the planet that lie to themselves. Animals don't lie to themselves. Human beings are the only creatures on the planet that, as a result of what we think, don't live up to the potential that God has for us. Every other living thing will reach for its potential. Have you ever seen a cat not grow to its potential, or a tree grow to its potential, or any other living thing? Because God's planted into them, and there's nothing that keeps them from growing to that potential other than they didn't get watered or taken care of. But we as human beings, because we are distinctly different, and God's created us with a will and a spirit, obviously, we can lie to ourselves. And because there's been the corruption of Satan and sin in our lives, in the garden when sin occurred, it shattered our thinking. And our thinking keeps us from telling ourselves the truth. Secondly, you recall, we talked about in Ephesians 4:26, Paul says, "Be angry, but do not sin."
We're going to pick up right from that spot. Continue this series on being before doing. Thank you for your support to the ministry, by the way. If you're a member, what's a member? A member is a person who supports the ministry in a very tangible way financially every month, mostly right through our auto giving plan, you know, debit or credit or electronic funds transfer. It goes right into the ministry to help us carry on. And, you know, when you become a member of the Intentional Living family, we're going to send to you a new member kit, which will be two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection. I'm also going to include in there, I asked the staff to put in the One Thing wristband, the same thing that I wear every day as a reminder about the power of one thing intentionally. And then we're going to slip in there the teaching for the month of February for members as I unlock the spiritual DNA of your intentional life, the teaching on what does that mean? You know, DNA in our body, we know that that is a marker. What's the spiritual DNA? We're going to talk about that. Next month, we'll talk about, you know, signs, the power of signs in our life. And that's a very practical lesson. And then I'm just completing the lesson for the following month. We'll be teaching that next week. So come and join us. We'd love to have you be a member. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate, theintentionallife.com. Thank you for your support.
Today, I'm intentionally going to seek God before I say anything to anybody, because sometimes we speak out of just anger and necessity instead of seeking God first, and that's what I'm going to intentionally do today. And I do thank God for Family Life Radio. I'm a new listener, and I'm loving every day of it. Thank you, and be blessed.
Michael, Michigan, is in Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment on walking by intentional faith here?
Trusting God fully is something very difficult to grab onto.
Yeah.
I started out in a, like, religious walk, and it led me to try to control everything in my life, which almost drove me to the point of insanity.
Hmm.
Through Jesus Christ, he totally freed me of all of that, and it totally allowed me to trust Him fully. I mean, situations that come across for most people that could take them years and a detour can be a month for me, because I just totally trust Him in everything, and He just totally works everything out in my life into His perfect will, and it's amazing when you get there.
Did you have a crisis of faith that caused you to do that?
Yeah, trying to control everything. I mean, I got to the point where I became psychotic, where I actually wanted to end people's lives in order to keep the control in my life, and it brought me to a breakdown. And that breakdown, Christ filled that void, and it totally brought me to peace and understanding that I had to trust Him in everything.
Wow. And so you've been walking this faith walk and growing, and are you plugged into a good church community and that kind of thing?
Yes, I'm a deacon at Long Lake Church in Harrison.
Well, good for you. Well, Michael, listen, you give an example of the fact that we don't control much, and the more we try to control and become a controller, it's not good. Now, we want to take care of things and be good stewards, and we want to manage things, obviously, but there's a difference between management, stewardship, responsibility, following through, and trying to control. I wrestle with that as well, Michael. I think it's something that many of us do. Thank you. Let's go to another Michael, who's not in Michigan but in Arizona, with a comment today. Go right ahead, Michael.
Hey, Dr. Andy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The step of faith that I've taken is, it began a couple years ago, actually. I was taking narcotic pain medicine for a lot of ailments, and I got addicted to it, and so I almost lost my family over it.
Mm.
Went to a recovery center in California. While I was there, God just revealed so much to me. He revealed that it wasn't just the narcotics that I was trying to kick, that I had been, had an addictive lifestyle my whole life.
Wow.
And then when I came home, counselor that I was seeing here was saying, wow, you got such a testimony. You got such a testimony. You need to share that. And I was like, that's too scary. I started attending Celebrate Recovery at my church. And one thing led to another. And I started working at the Celebrate Recovery at my church. And now I'm one of the leaders at the Celebrate Recovery at my church. And every time it's just been a step of faith, because I started having other churches approach me and say, hey, we want you to share your testimony, because I shared my testimony at my church. And the word got out. And so that was scary in itself, but I went forward and just got so blessed by so many things while sharing my testimony. And now the most recent thing is I'm speaking with corporate offices at Goodwill, and they're talking about partnering up with us. And, that's something that I've prayed about and been really wanting to have happen, and been asking God, if that's the right thing for me. And, it's just like I just keep on taking these steps of faith, and every time I take a step of faith, it's just like God just rewards me, and it's just so amazing that I've been saved for 37 years, but it wasn't until 2 years ago when I was so broken, and I just gave everything. I said, Jesus, just take everything. I am so tired of trying to run things.
Isn't that interesting?
And then things just went crazy. Everything just been going wild, and I'm so, so thankful.
Well, what happens, Michael, is we limit God, and we walk in this little box of our own little making until we realize the box is too small and God can't break through unless we open the door. And then we open it up and realize, man, we got a banquet table of God's blessing and God's opportunities and God's direction for our life that all of a sudden open up to us and gives us a whole new world. And it really does come back to faith. It's getting outside of ourselves. And faith doesn't mean you sit on the sideline. You heard Michael say, take the step, and he acted. He acted. He stepped out on faith, and he did the next right one thing.
Hi, my name is Stephanie, and I just wanted to let you know that your program really, truly does change lives. My husband has bipolar disorder and has had some severe manic episodes where he becomes delusional and very threatening and has been hospitalized in the past. And about a year and a half ago, I had an affair more than once with his best friend that he works with, and I worked with that man's wife. And I just felt an enormous amount of guilt after it's been going on for about 6 months, and it just came out of nowhere. And I talked to a therapist, and she told me I needed to tell my husband, and I didn't because I was scared he was going to quit taking his medication for the bipolar disorder. And he ended up finding out anyways. Thank God that we got caught and everything's out in the open, and I feel so free now. Even though I have quit my job so this other woman doesn't have to look at me, and my husband has quit taking his medication, is in a hospital involuntarily now, and I've never been closer to God. And your story that you had on today, I just happened to turn it on the way to go visit my husband, and it was talking about controlling and how your marriage can be at a horrible place, but if you just keep praying and stay on God's path. I turned it on just at the right moment, and you said just the right thing at just the right time, and God is working in my life like I've never believed. I've never felt closer to anyone or ever felt so close to God. And I'm a new Christian, and I just want to tell you what a difference your program has made in my life just every day to get through each moment. You know, having no job now, no income, and a husband that wants a divorce. And you give me hope every day along with my prayer and God speaking to me. And I'm living intentionally by just keeping my ears open and trying to hear every day what God wants, not what I want. Because every time I do what I want, it just backfires tremendously. And every time I do what God wants, I feel good about it when I do it. Even if it's not something I want to do, I always feel good when I do it. So I just want to thank you for your program.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for your transparency. I mean, it's encouraging to someone, I'm sure, who's listening today who just needed to hear what you had to share. Thank you. We're in this series on being before doing, which really comes down to the basics of you can't be a phony in a marriage relationship for very long until it's going to bite you. That's why I tell people, just be who you are. If you're dating, make sure the people that you're dating and yourself, the person you're dating and yourself, you're really being honest with each other. Because if you do get married, and the real person then shows up, that creates nothing but problems. So this series will continue tomorrow. Just before we wrap it up today, I want to say again thank you to each of you for your ongoing support of the ministry. Very much appreciated. Members, we couldn't do it without you, and I want you to know that your help, your financial support is critical, because every dime and every dollar goes right back in to allow us to continue to do what God has given us to do here at the Intentional Living Center, including not only the radio program, but our conference outreach and our resources and small groups and the things that we do. And speaking of conferences, hey, listen, the time is passing, and we're just a few weeks away now from the Kevin Lehman and Randy Carlson Hope for Your Home tour, and Humor for Your Home as well. We're going to talk about marriage and parenting, and with many years of experience in teaching, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I are looking forward to having a great time with those who come. Albuquerque, hey, listen, maybe you came last year when I was there. I have some brand new things I want to share with you to encourage you on marriage, and Kevin's bringing his best-selling book and material from Making Children Mine Without Losing Yours, Parenting and Marriage Conference, Albuquerque at Hoffmantown on April the 7th, Hoffmantown Church, April the 7th, and then Glendale on Saturday, April 21st. We're going to have a lot packed in there to encourage you at the Glendale Nazarene Church on April 21. So get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. More tomorrow. We'll see you then.